Amen. Thank you, Chrissy and Brooke. Go with me, if you would, to Titus. Titus chapter 2. While you're turning there, I want to encourage you, challenge you. We have some new invitations that to use back there along with the tracts and such that we normally pass out. But there's a new invitation, just a real simple postcard. And it says, you're invited to Trinity Baptist Church. It's a general invitation. And what I'd like to challenge us to do with these is, we'll just use the theme five to thrive. Is grab yourself a handful back there and make it a goal this week to pass five of them out. Invite five people to church with you for next Sunday. Amen? Think we can do that? Just five. Just five. That's less than one a day. All right? If you want to take more, by all means, please take more. But let's make it a goal, each one of us, to pass out five of these this week and invite five people to church. They're out there on the table in the coat closet there. You'll see them there. And we've got plenty. We can put more out. So just take, just if you take them, use them. All right? Don't set them up in the dashboard and they get so faded you can't read them anymore or anything like that. Use them up, all right? But let's do that. Five to thrive. Let's try and then pray that God blesses. Amen. And we see folks come to church and see us grow. Amen. Titus chapter 2. Of course, today is Mother's Day and also the beginning of our family emphasis month. And we're going to be looking at the different parts of the family throughout the month, but obviously today is going to be Mother's Day. And, you know, there's no better way to honor mothers this morning to take a look at the Word of God and see what God's Word says about the godly woman. Amen? And it's something we need today, our godly women. All right? And you ladies that are here this morning, keep it up. Keep it up. All right? Don't give up. Keep setting a godly example. Amen. Especially for your family there. But gentlemen, let me tell you, don't get so excited yet. Your time's coming. All right. I know there's some men back there in their minds are saying, let it rip. Let it rip. Let's go. You know, now, let them have it. But, you know, Father's Day is coming right around the corner. And throughout the month, we're going to be looking at the fathers, the husbands as well. But, you know, there's never been a time in history more than today where we need more godly women. You understand when I say it this way, they're a dying breed. Just like godly men, we need godly women. And the Bible has a lot to say about a woman that lives for the glory of God. A lot of positive things to say about her. Encouragement about her. And I think as I was studying this message, and I was just thinking back, you know, my mom's not able to be here today, but I'm sure they're watching there at home. I thank the Lord for the godly example I saw in my mother growing up. Those of y'all that know my mom, you know exactly what I'm saying. My dad as well. I never had to wonder if we were going to church. I never had to wonder if my dad was out drinking. I never had to wonder if my mom was out somewhere and we didn't know where she was, doing something she should. It just didn't happen. They were godly parents. And I praise the Lord for that. I don't take that for granted. I thank the Lord for the godly mother in my family now, for Kelly, and the example that she set for our children. We need that, folks. There's a lot. I mean, we can keep naming names here this morning, but we need godly women today. And you know, the Bible has much to say regarding the godly woman for every age. For every age. We have teenagers in here. We've got little kids downstairs. You know what? Those little girls down there in children's church can learn at their age to be a godly woman. You know, we asked, I hope I don't get, you know, in trouble for it, but we asked some of the ladies this morning, even that were the elder, up in the elder age, they can still be godly women. Amen. The example they set for us. Praise the Lord for that. Satan has pointed a whole artillery of weapons directly at our homes. And we're going to be looking at that over the next month. You think about what gets shot at our families every day. Whether it's through advertisements, they pop up on your phone, they pop up on your computer, they pop up on the television, they pop up on the radio. You see them in the newspaper. You see them in things you read throughout the day. You think of how much the devil shoots at us every day to try and tear down the family. To tear down a godly father. To tear down a godly mother. To tear down our children. They all have one thing in common. Those things are all on the rise. I wish we can hear the news tomorrow that says there's been a decline in immorality in the United States of America. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Wouldn't that be a blessing? I'd kind of wonder who made that statistic, you know, but it would be a blessing. But you know what? They're all aimed, the devil's using it all to aim it right at our families, to destroy us. I would like you, it's good to know when something goes wrong that there's a plan to make it right. God has a plan. And it still works, amen? He has a plan for your family. He has a plan to make you a godly woman today. He has a plan to make you a godly man today. He has a plan to make you a godly young person today. You know, we talked about this in Sunday school a little bit. You know, when we have that saying, guys, you know, when all else fails, read, then we read the directions. We talked about that in Sunday school. We joked around about it a little bit. But we're all guilty of that idea when it comes to spiritual things. Sometimes we wait till everything starts going south. We wait till everything starts going wrong. Then we go back to the directions, to the way it should be, the way God's given it for us to abide by. I want you to look in this passage here with me in Titus chapter 2, in verse 1 through 5. We're going to read there. Pay attention. Now, it talks about the men and the women in these verses, and today being Mother's Day, we're going to focus on the godly woman for this morning. But men, we can take note as well. It has a lot to teach us also. Look at verse 1. It says, "But speak thou," Titus chapter 2, verse 1, "but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." You know, those verses today, you know, when you think about it, you hear it so often, and do you believe the Bible? Let's start there. You believe it's truth? Does God ever change? No, he does not. What is taught in just those five verses today is looked at today as just being old-fashioned. Sure, I'll agree it is old-fashioned. But it's not obsolete. It's not something just because it's old-fashioned, it's no good for us anymore. The Word of God, and specifically these verses, because it is the Word of God, because it is truth, and because God never changes, you know what? These five verses right here go for us just as much today as they did the day they were penned down. Just as important for us today. Look at verse 1 there. The word specific. I want to look at two words here real quick before we get into the message. The word become in verse 1 there. Things which become sound doctrine. You know, this is it's not used this way many times, but it describes that which makes someone beautiful. That which makes someone beautiful. To become beautiful. You know, we all do things this morning. I don't think anybody in here, maybe I'm wrong, but I think everybody in here at some point this morning looked in the mirror. I hope so, right? Maybe you didn't. Maybe you already know what you look like, and man, we're good to go, you know? But some of us had to look in the mirror and fix a few things before we came to church this morning. You wanted to do things to make yourself, ladies, to make yourself more beautiful. Guys, to make us look more, how would we put it? Not beautiful, I hope, but more handsome, I guess, you know. This word become, when we're talking spiritually, there are things in our life that we need to put in our life, and specifically we're talking about a godly woman today, but a godly man also, the specific things that need to be put in your life for you to become godly. And specifically what it's talking about here is become what? Things which become sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. There's another word that's used there. Later on, look down at verse 10. I know we didn't read it, but look at verse 10. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may, what? Adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Adorn. Again, talking about things that we put on. We're not talking about this morning about outward beauty, though. We're talking about something on the inside. Now, the truth is, if the inside's beautiful, the outside will be beautiful. Right? I think we'd agree there. I want us to look at a few things, and with the two verses that we looked there, becoming sound doctrine and adorning ourselves with the doctrine there, godly doctrine. I want us to look at a few things that we can adorn ourselves with, and ladies, specifically for the godly woman, that you can adorn yourself with to be a godly woman. First thing I want us to look at there is in verse 3 and 4, it says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. And it goes down through a list there. And then verse 4, it says that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. First thing I want us to see, for the godly woman, she has a command here. A command. You know, this isn't something that God just came up and says, hey, ladies, you know, if you can, you know, if it works out for you in this way, if it's convenient for you, here's what I'd like you to do. He gives a command. He gives a command to the men, too. But specifically in the verses that we're looking at, what we're looking at here this morning, he gives a command to the ladies to do what? To teach the younger. And then a command is also given to the younger to learn from the aged, from the elder women. Now, I'm not going to draw a line on who's younger and who's older, okay? Because honestly, there is no line. Some of the older ladies in here, you're examples to any of the younger ladies in here. Younger ladies in here, you're examples to the ones that are downstairs even. And vice versa, you know, the younger can learn from the older. We both have a command. They both have a command here. There's no way around this. The younger women will learn from what they see in the older women. They will hear what the Bible says. You know, they hear what the Bible says from the preaching of the Word of God. And they read what the Word of God says in their own devotions. But you know where they're going to learn it the most? The example they see in you. The younger generation that's coming up today, they need a godly example to look to. They need desperately a godly example to look up to. You know very well what this world has to look up to. Oh my goodness. God help our young people. Seriously. Working with the teens down through these years, and every now and then I'll hear one of them say how their favorite singer or their favorite actor or their favorite, you know, sports star. And I'll just kind of mention, have you ever checked in to see what they're into? The background of that person that you look up to, that you idolize, and that you want to be like? Ladies in here, let me just speak to you. Please set the godly example for our young people. The best teacher they have is to see it lived out in you. To see it lived out in you. Understand, this is a God-given responsibility to teach them how to be a godly woman, how to be a godly wife, how to be a godly mother, and so on. Then on the other hand, younger women, it talks about there that they may teach the younger women to be sober. You know what? That puts a responsibility also on the younger women to learn. To look up to them, to follow their example, to listen to the advice and counsel, godly advice and godly counsel that they give them, to open yourselves to those old-fashioned ways. To those old-fashioned ways. but they're godly ways. This generation needs a generation of godly women to look up to. But at the same time, our younger generation coming up, I don't mean this in a mean way, but honestly, we need to just swallow our pride and follow their example. Follow their example. You know, sometimes I used to, you know, especially as a young person, as a young person, you think, oh, my mom and dad, they do it the old-fashioned way. You know, they do it that way. That's the old way of doing things, you know. And you almost kind of make fun of it sometimes and such. But, you know, the older I get, I hear the phrase, you're so much like your father. There was a day as a young person, I used to think, oh, no, what am I doing wrong? But, and I don't mean that in a mean way. You know, as a young person thinks, I'm not an old man. I'm not an old person. You know, I don't do it the old way. But, you know, the older I've gotten, that's become a compliment. Because my dad's a godly man. And for somebody to say, you're so much like your father, man, what a compliment that is. We need to live out that example for our young people to follow. Sometimes if we're not careful, we do try and set the godly example. But when we see the younger generation doing it wrong, we criticize it. And we would just make remarks of how wrong they are, and I can't believe how far down this generation's gone. And we talk and downgrade it, but we never do anything to try and encourage them, to help them, to take them under our wing and try and teach them, okay, you're doing it wrong, but can I help you do it right? Can I be a part of your life? And, you know, this idea of mentoring. We need Christian mentors today. We need people. We have some people come into this church, young people that have sat down in my class downstairs, you know, as the youth director has sat there. And I know that hour, 2 hours that we have them on Sunday morning, that is the only kind of Christian influence that will be in their lives the rest of the week. The only godly men they're going to see in their life is what they saw here Sunday morning. The only godly women that they're going to see in their life is what they see here on Sunday morning. And sometimes if we're not careful, we get this attitude, man, I can't believe how they acted in church today. It is just horrible. And maybe they did act in an inappropriate way in the service, but did you go up and try to help them? To try and teach them? To try and encourage them? To try and give them that godly example that they can follow? We need that today. We need that. Learning how to dress right. Learning how to carry yourself as a lady. And men, same thing goes for us. Learning how to carry yourself as a man. As a man. So many things that this world will try and teach our young people, and they're succeeding. They're doing good. The world is. They're succeeding at teaching our young people how they want them to dress, how they want them to act, how they should respect authority. How many of y'all ever watch Andy Griffith? You know, and I think we all know who Andy Griffith is. I'm done watching them now, but I went through a little binge, I guess you call it. Is that what they call it these days? Watched all the Andy Griffiths. And it just blew me away, the difference in the morals and respect that's taught in those TV shows. What used to be on TV, even taught on TV. And you don't see that today. You know, you watch the average video of a police officer pulling a young person over today. They come to their window. What's the first thing police ask you? I need to see your license and registration, please. What do you need to see that for? Why do I have to show that? I don't have to show you anything. I don't have to prove to you who I am. They do nothing but argue. What is that? That is just a reflection of what this world is teaching them. And it also reflects on us how, folks, we're not influencing them in a godly way like we should be. Like we should be. Who is teaching the younger generation of Christian women today? Who's helping them shape their family values? Folks, if we don't do it, somebody will. Ladies, if you don't teach your children, the younger generation of ladies, how to be godly and how they should dress, how they should act, how they should carry themselves, how to respect, how to be a good mother, how to be a godly wife. If you don't teach them how to do that, somebody else will. And it's not going to be in a godly way. She has a command. Then in verse 5, we also see she has a motive. A motive. What motivates a woman to be a godly woman? Verse 5 says, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. This is a motivation, folks. You might say, well, what does that have to do with what we're talking about here this morning, that the word of God be not blasphemed? Put it simply, the best thing any of us can do this morning to improve on the influence of this church and our home and everything is the testimony of this church is to do our part in building godly families in order to build a strong church and a godly church. How does this happen? When we live our lives that prove the Word of God. Just think to yourself. Ladies, you're sitting here this morning. I hope you try to live your best to be a godly woman. Does it reflect the Word of God? Does the life you're living reflect what God's Word teaches? Or are we guilty, and we're all guilty of this at some part or another, we're to strive to let God change us and to transform us to be more like Him, but is it possible that when the world looks at your life, the word of God is being blasphemed? You claim to be this, but you don't live it. Gentlemen, that goes for us too. One of the last points in the Sunday school lesson this morning. Practice what? Practice what you preach. Setting that example. Setting that example. That's our motive. You know, every time a family falls apart, every time a husband or wife ends up divorcing, every time children leave the home in a horrible way, it undermines and contradicts what's preached from the Word of God. God's Word is blasphemy. You know, we preach here at this church, we preach very clearly that Jesus is the answer. That God's Word has the answers. How we need to live our life according to the truths that are found in this book. That's what we preach, and that's what we teach, and that's what we believe. That it's the answer to the world's problems. It's the answer to it's the rock that they can build their home on if they would let God do so. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we ourselves, we preach it and we teach it, but we need to practice it. We need to make it a part of our life. You know, sometimes we don't think that the world may be listening, but they're watching. They're watching. They want to see proof. And when they see you ladies living a godly life, not just because at work you claim to be a Christian, but living a godly life where day after day they watch you and how you talk differently. You walk differently. Your attitude's different. Your respect is different. You know what? You don't work on Sundays and Wednesdays. Where are you at? Oh, I go to church those days. I have to make sure I'm off to go to church. You know, you're faithful at it. You're going to a mission. What in the world is a missions conference? What in the world is a revival service? You know what? What? You claim to be all this. The best thing they can see is you live it. To live it. They're watching. You know, Paul is saying here in this verse that when the home falls apart, whether it's the father, whether it's the mother, or the husband, or wife, or the children, when the home falls apart, it's the word of God that's being blasphemed out of it. Folks, that should motivate us. Ladies, that should motivate you to be a godly woman, to strive to do more, to strive to live for the Lord. It's not easy. It's not easy. You almost have to have a prayer revival just to go out and find clothes that are decent to wear at Walmart. You can't find it hardly. If something as simple as just finding clothes to wear is the world's not going to just poof and say, okay, we'll supply better godly clothing for you. Or we'll supply a Christian education in the public schools for your children. Or we'll do this. They're not going to magically do this. They're not going to start doing that. We've just got to determine. Listen, for the sake of God's word, so that God will not be blasphemed, I'm going to strive to do my best to be a godly man. Ladies, you're going to strive to do your best to be a godly lady. It's also seen in her manner of life. There in verse 3, it says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. You know, behavior here, the way it's used in the Greek is similar to the word fragrance. Fragrance. When we started dating, and Kelly and I started dating, I noticed pretty quick, one of the first things I noticed when we started dating was her perfume. Sunflowers. Have y'all heard sunflowers before? She wore that. I can smell her a mile away. In a good way. In a good way. I always knew I'm getting close to her. Where's she at, you know? No. We weren't allowed to walk together on the path going back to the dorms. It's a Christian college. They were very strict about it. You had to be so far apart when you're even walking down the path. But I'd walk just close enough behind her where I can smell her perfume, you know? That fragrance, it marks you, doesn't it? It you know, ladies, godly ladies should have a fragrance of holiness. Godliness about them. A fragrance that when you get around them, get anywhere near them, you can tell God's with them. There's something different about them. You know, in the Old Testament, when the priest went back into the temple there, into the Holy of Holies, and into the room there, they burned incense back there to the Lord. And even when they came out of that temple, that fragrance was still on them, and you can tell they had been back there in the presence of God. Ladies, let me tell you something. The younger generation and those around you need to smell the presence of God around you. They need to be able to tell that you're close to God. You're close to the Lord. They need that example. And he gives, there's a glow. You think about this, there's a glow about a godly woman that no one can create but God. There's something different about her that only God can do in her life. And he mentions several characteristics, and you can go beyond this. Not false accusers. You know what that's simply talking about is our gossip. You know, you ever heard somebody say, I don't gossip, but did you hear about... Anytime you don't know what you're doing, that's a form of insanity. You know that? You know, but gossiping is so easy to do, but we can't be a part. It says not given to much wine. It's not promoting that social drinking is okay. Just don't go overboard. It's not saying that. I heard a man, or I read a story, I should say, one time. This man was talking about his wife. She took NyQuil the first night. Okay. Then she took it the second night. And third night, he wasn't too worried about her. But the fourth night, he got suspicious when she was mixing it with her Coke. There's a name for NyQuil. It's called Baptist Bourbon. Okay? Now, we're not talking about that. Folks, we're talking about, and it even goes into having self-control. I mean, the list can go on and on and on that we can talk about different qualities, whether you're a godly woman or a godly man, that we should have in our life. People need to see that. Ladies, the younger generation needs to see that. Younger generation, you need to follow that. There's nothing wrong with it. Then last of all, her message, very quickly, and we'll be done. Verse 4 and 5. That they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. What is the message that a godly woman should teach? What should she be teaching to the younger generation? Well, the first thing we see there is being sober or discreet, to be serious-minded, to have godly judgment, to be able to make good decisions at home and in her life. You know, the Bible does not require a godly woman to be the best cook or to keep the cleanest house. Or any such things like that. But the Bible does teach the godly woman to be serious-minded and able to make good judgments for her family and in her relationship with her husband and how she raises her children. How are they going to learn that? We have some new young mothers here in this church. We have mothers that have kids that are growing up, but they often have questions. What do I do in this situation? You know whose responsibility it is to help them? The older godly women that have been there, that have done that, that could give them good godly advice. They teach the younger generation, number two, to love her husband. Teach them to love their husband. Don't ask my wife, but if you was to ask my wife, can I be a hard person to live with? She's just like, zip it. Yes, I can. I'll admit it. Guys, I'm not the only one. She's practiced a lot of patience down through the years. We've never argued, have we? But you know what? She had examples in her life that just simply taught her how to love her husband. Regardless of his faults. Regardless of the mistakes he'll make. You godly, especially the older godly ladies in here, teach the younger generation how to love their husbands. Again, this world's not going to teach that. I won't mention her name, but a lady, she's a talk show host. She made this comment to the younger generation. She told them, you don't have to be stuck with that old goat. Go find something that you want. That's not what the Bible teaches, is it? Sometimes we'll hear the younger generation or even, you know, older generation, we'll hear them say, well, he's just not the same man I marry. Maybe not. But what does the Bible say? Where are they going to learn that? From the older generation, setting the example. To love their children, to care for them, and discipline them in a godly way. To be chaste, talking about keeping yourself pure. We teach our teenagers to keep themselves pure before marriage. But it doesn't stop after they get married. They still need to stay faithful to the man they marry. Same thing for the men, to the lady they marry. Keepers at home. I always picked on my wife when we got married. And she admitted this to me. She said, listen, my mom never taught me much as far as cooking or anything. When we got married, literally, I had to teach her how to cook an egg. The first time she cooked She surprised me one time when we came home. I came home from work. She said, "I want you to just go in the living room. I want you to just take it easy. You know, take your shoes off." And we were newlyweds. Okay. She said, "I have a surprise for you." It was dinner. About an hour later, she comes back into the living room and she was bawling. "I can't get the cooked chicken to cook all the way through." You know, she she was trying so hard. We went out to eat. But but she kept at it. And she followed the example of other women in her life that encouraged her, that helped her. Obviously, she is a good cook today. Ladies, just be sure, the example that we're setting, we're teaching the younger generation. You know, unfortunately, we live in an area where a lot of women have to work to make ends meet at home. But the same goes with the father or the mother, that our work is not coming before our family, before God. Godly women, in light of Mother's Day today, let me tell you something, Mom, and all the ladies. The Satan's trying to attack you. Satan is trying to destroy you. If he can get you to lose your testimony, to give up the fight, to keep standing for what the Bible says, to the sound doctrine, to quit becoming sound doctrine and to adorn yourself with it, like we talked about, he's trying his best to keep you from doing that. Let me encourage you this morning. Keep setting the example. Keep being a godly lady. Younger ladies, follow their example. If it's lining up with what God's Word says, I don't care how old-fashioned it looks, how old-fashioned it sounds, how it's the truth. It's what God's Word says. Follow their example. Don't follow this world's example. And men, I know it was directed toward the ladies here this morning in light of Mother's Day, but the same lesson goes for us, men. We need to set the godly example. Maybe you're here this morning and looking at this. We need to back up a little bit. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord is your Savior. Let me ask you something. You know, do you know that you're on your way to heaven this morning? Without a doubt. Do you know that for sure? I hear a lot of people that we ask that question to. Oh, well, I hope I do. I hope one day I can get to heaven. You know, the Bible teaches us we can know it. I'd rather know something than hope for something. I like that certainty. The Bible says we can know for sure. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you asked Him to forgive you and repented of your sins? And asked Him, you know, He already paid the price for our sin. He's already given us the gift of heaven. All we have to do is accept it. Have you done that in your life? Do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? If you don't know that for sure, we're going to have an invitation here in just a moment. Come on forward. We'll have somebody take you somewhere privately. And they'll show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven this morning. Maybe you're here this morning, Mom. Maybe you're here and you know you can set a better example. Men, you too. Maybe we've been slipping. Maybe we've stopped being as fervent and as faithful to the Word of God as we used to be. The younger generation needs a godly generation to look up to. Let's make sure we're doing that. Heads bowed and eyes closed.